Good morning, everyone. I'm excited to preach for the last time, not really the last time, but the last day preaching here. So it's been wonderful to serve in BCC. It has been wonderful to meet so many people, and it has been a joy to be here. So before we start, I would like to invite you to, if you had your Bible or phone, just can turn to Psalm 136. If you don't have it, don't worry. We'll read along and just listen. Psalm 136. Give thanks to the Lord, for He is good, for His steadfast love endures forever. Give thanks to the God of gods, for His steadfast love endures forever. Give thanks to the Lord of lords, for His steadfast love endures forever. To Him who alone does great wonders, for His steadfast love endures forever. To Him who by understanding made the heavens, for His steadfast love endures forever. To Him who spread out the earth above the waters, for His steadfast love endures forever. To Him who made the great light, for His steadfast love endures forever. The sun to rule over the day, for His steadfast love endures forever. The moon and stars to rule over the night, for His steadfast love endures forever. To Him who struck down the firstborn of Egypt, for His steadfast love endures forever. And brought Israel out from among them, for His steadfast love endures forever. With a strong hand and an outstretched arm, His steadfast love endures forever. To Him who divided the Red Sea in two, for His steadfast love endures forever. And made Israel pass through the midst of it, for His steadfast love endures forever. But overthrew Pharaoh and his host in the Red Sea, for His steadfast love endures forever. To Him who led His people through the wilderness, for His steadfast love endures forever. To Him who struck down great kings, for His steadfast love endures forever. And killed mighty kings, for His steadfast love endures forever. Sihon, king of the Amorites, for His steadfast love endures forever. And Og, king of Bashan, for His steadfast love endures forever. And gave their land as a heritage, for His steadfast love endures forever. A heritage to Israel, his servant, for His steadfast love endures forever. It is He who remembers us in our low estate, for His steadfast love endures forever, and rescued us from our foes, for His steadfast love endures forever. He who gives food to all flesh, for His steadfast love endures forever. Give thanks to the God of heaven, for His steadfast love endures forever. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we give thanks to You for Your steadfast love endures forever. Father, speak to us. Speak to us. Reveal to us Your love so we may give thanks to You, so we may praise You for Your steadfast love endures forever. Thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So have you seen, as you have seen the video, BCC just hosted our VBC camp, Bible camp. So with the help of so many volunteers and brothers and sisters from our church, we successfully completed our camp. So that was awesome. It was my first time volunteering in a VBS camp with so many responsibility. And also it was my first time teaching and playing with kids who are not my own for such a long time. So it was really, really taxing. I was completely exhausted on Saturday. Seriously. And so I was tasked to teach the second grader English. And as you can tell from my accent, I'm not a native speaker. And I have no prior experience in teaching English to anyone. So to be honest, I have no idea what they learned. whether vocabulary, I dumped a bunch of vocabulary to them. I taught them all the sentence structure, the simple ones. I don't know how much they remember, honestly. Also, we taught them Bible points. We taught them Bible verses, Bible stories. Every day we have something for them. Hopefully they continue to remember them. But in a month or two, I don't know how much they retain, how much they remember. But one thing I'm certain though, I'm certain that they felt the love we have for them. All of the volunteers, all of the teachers, we shared so much of our life with them in that 1 week. It was just simple and pure in our camp. So I pray that experience, that memory of love would stay with them so that they, when they need to look for help, when they're lonely, when they struggle, when they are powerless, when they worry, they would remember that Jesus rescues. That's our theme of last week, if you're not aware. So I pray that our love will remind them in the future to look for Jesus, to remember that refrain that, look, Jesus rescue. And in fact, love stays with us in that sense. I don't remember if my mom or dad ever said, I love you, to me. I simply don't remember. It's just too many years ago, maybe. But I remember my mom walked with me and my brothers down the street to get some bread. And I remember that on the power line, there was lines of pigeons. And they welcomed us with a shower of, yes. If you know what it means. Yeah, shower of their feces. So, yes, I remember that. And I remember that with a loving memory, as a loving memory. Because that's what we do. That's what we do every day. Walk down the street, get some bread. And that's love. That's my mom's love. I remember my aunt's love for me when she had to carry me on her back, walk to the clinic in the middle of the night and back. And I was having fever, and she had to rush me to the clinic in the middle of it. And that's love. And I remember how my grandpa loved me. He's a man of no words, maybe. He's partly deaf, and so he couldn't hear a lot, and he didn't say a lot. So I'm sure, I'm 100% sure, he never said, I love you. But then, every day I come home from school, he would have made something for me, a snack, a treat. That's his love. He never said he loved me, but I have no doubt about it. God's love for us is the same. So when we go through struggle, when we go through trials, when we go through testing, when we go through heartbreak, disappointment, go through defeat, when we fall flat on our face, God comes to our rescue. And those are the marks of his love. And those experiences stick with us. They become part of us. And God would call us back to those past experiences in order to remind us how much he loved us. Psalm 136 the psalmist put this flashback and reminder into this psalm, a hymn. So today we will look at this psalm quickly and see how it can still speak to us today and remind us the love of God. In our reading of Psalm 136, we hear the phrase, for his steadfast love endures forever. Well, we need to first discuss what is love. Does it mean that God had a romantic feeling toward us? Or does it mean that God has a hormonal response when he sees us? Well, of course not, we know that. But what is the definition of love according to the Bible? Well, just like love in real life, it's complicated. We see that in the translation. The translators struggle with an equivalent translation as well. On the screen, you will see, can we move to the next slide, please?
Yes, keep going until everything comes out. You see, we have it's faith, love, endures forever. I don't know which one is that. I forgot to put one bracket, one translate version for the middle one. Please don't go. Yes. Okay. But these are the major translations you will have in the Bible. You see, the word chesed in Hebrew, the translator had a difficulty with this translation. There's no equivalent in our English language to show how complex and abundant that the meaning of love is. ESV says steadfast love. NASB said loving kindness, faithful love, loyal love, mercy. That's the Septuagint translation. And then NIV just simply, maybe they give up and said, just love, okay. So yes, we don't, there's no way a one word could fully review how much of that love is, how complicated, how beautiful that love is. The fullness of that love cannot just come out from one word. But it's, our translation may be lacking, but our understanding of it need not be. God's love is a layer with faithfulness, loyalty, kindness, mercy, goodness. And the psalmist repeat that whole thing throughout the hymn. That's what love is. That's what God, when God speaks of love in the Old Testament, that's what love is. So now, Psalm 136, now we know what love is, maybe, perhaps. Psalm 136 can be divided into six different sections. Some may divide it differently, but I think these six sections shows what the psalmist is trying to say. In the first three verses, psalmist calls for thanksgiving for who God is, for who the Lord is, and who Yahweh is. The psalmist gives three descriptions to Yahweh. He said, he is good, verse 1. Verse 2 said, he's the Lord of Lords. I mean, he's the God of gods. And verse 3 says, he's the Lord of Lords. Yahweh's goodness is the foundation. It's the foundation of everything that will happen. The goodness is the basis. We give thanks to him because he's good. We can expect nothing bad from him, nothing but goodness from him. We can expect him to deliver us because he's good. We can expect him to provide when we are in need because he's good. We can expect him to comfort us when we're down because he's good. We can expect him to rescue us when we are in danger because our God is good. But our God is more than good. He is the God of gods and Lord of lords. He's sovereign. He holds the ultimate power in the universe, in the heavenly realm, as well as the earthly realm. So all spiritual warfare and struggles are under God's control. And there's no dualism in the Bible. There's no like a force of goodness and force of evil, and they are crashing against each other. No, there's no such things in the Bible. God does not need to contend with any other forces. He's simply the God of everything. God of all gods, all little gods. He's simply the Lord, the master of all kings. If you care to search the Bible, whenever there's a spiritual warfare going on, it is always between Satan and God's angels. God would never involve himself in a fight with Satan. It's always his messenger, always his angel. Because God doesn't need to. If he comes out and you decide to play the battle, it's over. It's just over. We see that in Revelation. We see that in the book of Daniel. So Yahweh is superior to everything else. He alone is sovereign. Give thanks to him, because that reveals, this is a revelation of his love. Well, say, well, sovereignty, how does it relate to love? Well, because a God so good, so transcendent, so powerful, so sovereign, like Yahweh, he is a relational God. He decided to relate to his people, Israel. the name Yahweh or Adonai, in some we would say it, it's a name given to Israel so that their people, his people, can call on him when they need help. It is a name because it's a relationship. Because imagine such a transcendent and powerful God, he decided to, hey, let's have a relationship with these lowly people, these created beings. And that is love. That is love. But that name, it was given to Israel. But we were also given another name, the name of Jesus. So we too can call on the name, call on Yahweh, our God's name. Because we by faith through Christ Jesus, we too can call on his name. We call him Abba Father. We call him Abba Father. The most intimate relationship we can have with our Creator. His goodness, his sovereignty reveal his love. Second part, the second section, psalmist call for thanksgiving. Thanksgiving for God's creation. Psalmist recount the creation account, the creation of heaven and earth, the creation of the sun, moon, and the stars. And he gave a reason. It's because God's love endures forever. Well, again, how? Most of the time when we talked about God's creation, we always think of his mighty power, his power to create from nothing to everything. We always talked about God's goodness, because after he created all things, he said, it's good, it's good, it's very good. The beauty of creation. We often talked about that, but we never talked about love was in creation. Love was in creation. The psalmist here is retelling the creation account to remind us of God's love. Well, that's because God created by love, for love. This is a word I took from Simone Weil from her book, Awaiting God. She said, God created all things with God's love for the purpose of love. The whole creation, the whole purpose of creation is because of love. And he created with his own love, because he has to allow his all sufficiency to retreat a little, to allow creation to exist. That is him humbling himself, allow creation to exist within himself and apart from himself. That is love. It's a self-sacrificing love. The whole creation is a demonstration of his love. And he created all things. If we remember Genesis 1 and 2, that God created all things and put Adam in the middle of the garden. So what? What was the purpose? It's to have a relationship with him. To have a relationship with him and walk and live in the garden. Allow Adam to take up his image and reign over creation. That's God's love. When he finished all things, creation of all things on the sixth day, he said, very good, very good. He demonstrated his love through creation, through the making of the universe. So in VBS, we have this little boy called Max. He's from my class. And his mom made a lot of those beautiful cookies. I was going to bring one to show you, but I think my kids may have taken them. in the morning, but those were beautiful, beautiful cookies. She made 600 of them and gave them out to all the volunteers, all of the volunteers. So they spent hours, hundreds of hours making those cookies for us. What we received were not just a bag of cookie, not a bag of cookie. We received a bag of love. That's the creation of love. That's the making of love. Also in our camp, our kitchen team, they make from scratch every meal, every snack time. They made from scratch in order to allow the kid to enjoy a healthy and fresh food. Every single thing they created, everything they made, was out of love. In the same way, God's creation reveals his love. The next session goes on and talked about God's rescue to Israel. From verses 10 to 15, the psalmist called for thanksgiving for God's rescue of Israel. Verses 10 to 15 recount the story from Exodus. That was a definitive moment in the history of Israel. That was the moment that set Israel free from bondage, free from the slavery in Egypt. God struck down the firstborn of Egypt and overthrew Pharaoh and his army into the Red Sea, Sea of Reeds. But God brought his people out from them and through the sea. This is the love of God. There was no romantic words. There was no whisper by the ear. There was no flowers and chocolate. But with the gruesome death from Egypt, God showed his love to Israel. In the same way, God, when God's love entered into our life, into my life, he didn't woo us with flowery, with words and presents. He showed his love with the death of his firstborn, Jesus. And we are spared. We spare from the ravaging sea and the wrath of wrath. God loves us by sending his only son to the cross. God reveals his love on the cross in order to rescue us. From verses 16 to 22, the psalmist calls for thanksgiving. Thanksgiving for God's providence. He recalled God's providence to Israel in the wilderness as they sojourned for 40 years because of their disobedience. Yet God faithfully provided for all of their needs, and helped them to overcome mighty kings and kingdoms. Remember, in the book of Numbers, that was the book with the most stories of disobedience and rebellions. And that is the episode of rebellions. But God's faithfulness, God's love, carried them through that period. Carried them through until they entered into Canaan, entered into the promised land. God's love for us is also his promise for us. He promised to take us to the end, and he will do so. That's his promise. That's just his promise. That's just his love. So, as God has been faithful to Israel, we can expect that God can be faithful to us as well. He will carry us through the difficult moments in life. He will carry us when we need to overcome our enemies, when we need a victory in our life. He will help us. He will carry us when we sin, when we falter, when we are lost on our journey. His love will guide us until we receive the promised life, the life eternal, the crown of life that's imperishable, a life that's been refined by fire and is more pure than pure gold. We will receive an inheritance that's greater than the inheritance that Israel received. They received everything. And we will receive the ultimate inheritance with them. We'll receive the ultimate inheritance with them. That is the eternal life. That is the eternal life in the heavenly Jerusalem. Just as God was faithful to Israel, we can be sure that he will be faithful to us. Because his love is everlasting. His love doesn't change. His love endures forever. There are just so many moments in my life I could tell you, I could share with you how God has been faithful to me and my family. How good he was, how true he was to hear our prayers and rescues us and guides us and lead us. God reveals his love in those daily moments. The last section, well, not really the last, but second to the last section from verses 23 to 25. The psalmist called for thanksgiving Because God remembers us. God remembers Israel when Israel was in a low estate. God remembered Israel when they were facing their enemies. God remembered Israel when they were oppressed in the land of Egypt. When they needed food in the wilderness, God remembered them. No matter where Israel was, no matter what condition she was, in what condition she was, God always remembers his people. Always. And when he remembers, he visits them. He delivers them. His remembrance is not just a ritual. It's not just like, oh, I remember him. Yeah, that's cool. No, it's not just that. But when he remembers, he works, he saves, he acts, he does something, he visits the people. God would go out of his way and manifest himself to them because God would work in all things for the good of those who love him. This is why I like the 5 Bible points we had in the VBS. It says when you're lonely, when you worry, when you struggle, when you do wrong, when you are powerless, we teach our kids to say, Jesus rescues. We taught them to remember these points. Because when we cry out to God, even actually before we cry out to God, God remembers us. He's ready. He is ready to rescue us. Because he loves us. He reveals his love when he remembers. Because he remembers. The last verse forms a bracket with verse 1. It forms a bracket with verse 1 to put the whole psalm into one complete and coherent unit. It simply says, give thanks to the God of heavens, for his love endures forever. Well, more than just forming a bracket, more than being a literary unit, it serves to remind us what we need to do. Give thanks to the God of heaven, because his love endures forever. Well, now let's try to read these as these were supposed to be read. The psalm is a community hymn. It's a call and response psalm. So when we read it, let's read it without the word for. For his love endures forever. Let's take that for away. And we are not trying to explain why he's doing all that, why his love endures forever. We don't need to explain it. We know it. We need to proclaim it. We need to proclaim his love endures forever. We need to proclaim it. We need to say it so that our mind, our memory muscle would just reflex whenever we have problem, whenever we need help, to say his love endures forever. So, what we will do is, can we have the next slide? I will read Psalm 136. I will read the first part of the verse, and you would simply say, next one please. His love endures forever. Yes. Can we do it? So just read the screen, his love endures forever. I will call, you will respond. This is how it was read. This is how Israel remember the love of God. Psalm 136. Give thanks to the Lord, for he's good. Give thanks to the God of gods. Give thanks to the Lord of lords, to him who alone does great wonders. His love endures forever. To him who by understanding made the heavens. His love endures forever. To him who spread out the earth above the waters. His love endures forever. To him who made the great light. His love endures forever. The sun to rule over the day. His love endures forever. The moons and stars to rule over the night. His love endures forever. To him who struck down the firstborn of Egypt, his love endures forever. And brought Israel out from among them, his love endures forever. With a strong hand and an outstretched arm, his love endures forever. To him who divided the Red Sea in two, his love endures forever. And made Israel pass through the midst of it, his love endures forever. But overthrew Pharaoh and his host in the Red Sea, his love endures forever. To him who led his people through the wilderness, his love endures forever. To him who struck down great kings, his love endures forever. And killed mighty kings, his love endures forever. Sihon, king of the Amorites, his love endures forever. And Og, king of Bashan, and gave their land as a heritage for his death. His love endures forever. A heritage to Israel, his servant, his love. It is he who remembers us in our low estate and rescues us from our foes. He who gives food to all flesh. Give thanks to the God of heavens. His love endures forever. Thank you. Thank you. I always want to try this, so I did it. Psalm 136 on the surface just appeared to be a psalm calling for worship, calling for praise. It just looked like Psalm 135, Psalm 118, Psalm 138. All these psalms recount a mighty act of God, the great wonder that God has done for Israel. And then it calls Israel back to worship the God, a God of Israel. Yes, it does that. I think Psalm 136 function this way. But the programmatic repeat of the refrain, for his steadfast love endures forever, it serves another function. It serves to remind us of God's love for us. The repetition, we repeatedly sing, the congregation will repeatedly sing that, chant that back, would help to put that concept into their head, into their mind, so that they remember, so that their whole being, it's guided by the love of Yahweh. The whole created order is screaming, I love you. The cross that Jesus bore is shouting, I love you. In our daily lives, through the divine providence, our God, through the Holy Spirit, is whispering, I love you, my dear. BCC, brothers and sisters, you are deeply, deeply loved by God, by Yahweh, by the God of gods, the Lord of lords. You are tightly held by the God of heavens and earth, and you are constantly on our God's mind. So, remember, it doesn't matter where you are in your walk with God. It doesn't matter if you're struggling financially, if you're struggling in your relationship. It doesn't matter if you have faltered and sinned. It doesn't matter if you are worrying, you're struggling inside. Just turn around. Turn around. Just turn around and face the cross. And come to the foot of the cross. Because God loves you. He remembers you. And he has not forgotten about you. He knows what you're going through. And he weeps with you. Your worry, your anxiety, your trouble, your shame, your shortcomings, your failures, and your sins. He knows them all. He loves you. Believe and trust that he's guiding your life. And he will continue to do that until he sees you. until he sees you face to face, until he holds you in his arm. Because our God is good. Because he's our good father. Because he loves you. Amen.
In the chorus of Christ is Enough, the last song we sing before the teaching. Christ is enough for me. Christ is enough for me. Everything I need is in you. Everything I need, Christ. Christ is enough for me. Christ is enough for me. Everything I need is in you. Everything I need, you are enough. Your love's enough for me. Your love's enough for me. Everything I need is in you. Everything I need, your love. Everything that you have done and will do is motivated by your perfect, pure heart of love. God, thank you that we never need to doubt your motivation. That maybe you have something out for us, that you're trying to get back at us or retaliate. But everything you do is from a perfect heart of love. There's no spot or shadow of darkness in you. God, our imaginations aren't really big enough to comprehend that. So God, reach beyond our imaginations to our hearts that we might have a deeper understanding of how profound your love is. And that as that happens, it would just overflow into our lives and beyond that into other people's lives. It's like a fountain. In Jesus' name, all God's people said.
Thank you. There's a refreshment on your right-hand side, and feel free to stay and enjoy your time of fellowship with us. So now, receive the benediction. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord makes his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. May the love of our Father, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the fellowship, the guidance of our God, the Holy Spirit, be with you all until we see him face to face. Amen. Go in peace.